For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Have you heard that verse? John 3:16 is going to be our theme verse for our Advent sermon series this year, which we begin today. Look at the first two words of that verse. For God. For God. The Bible tells us about God. Duh. Of course. Okay, well, now let's think about that. Is that a little weird at all? A book written by humans tells us about God? I suppose that fact just by itself has turned many away from Christianity. Well, the Bible was written by people. Why should I believe a bunch of ancient human beings? They're just like you and me, prone to mistake and to fancy. Shouldn't a communication from the real God come in some different form than that? Okay, well, what form were you expecting? Maybe a divine voice from heaven, speaking directly to you when the question ran through your mind for the first time, I wonder if there's a God or not. Well, that would have been nice. That would be welcome, to hear God's voice audibly. Now, the Bible does include some testimonies of people who say they heard the direct voice of God. That's different than you hearing the direct voice of God, but it's something to put in the hopper anyway. Think about. There are people here in this room today who believe that they have heard the voice of God in one form or another. That's also something to consider. But still, this is all coming from people, isn't it? And maybe you just don't trust people. I don't necessarily blame you, especially when you're dealing with the terribly important question of, is there a God or not? Okay, how else might you expect God to communicate to human beings? Maybe God would set up a huge rock in the middle of a forest somewhere that would have words carved into it directly from him, explaining who he is and what he wants of us. And maybe each person who looked at that rock, at the words carved there, would see them in his or her own alphabet and language. Ooh, well, that would be kind of cool. That might be convincing. Then again, maybe after a while, you might start thinking, huh, was that God, or could that be like aliens or something? Maybe it comes from some top-secret technology that the Iranians have developed. Who knows? Maybe if God exists, we should just be able to observe him like we observe other human beings and animals and so forth. If that were true, of course, we wouldn't have the question. We would just know he exists, right? That's not our situation. We can't observe God the way we observe other humans and other animals and so forth. But does that prove that he doesn't exist? No, it doesn't. We still have the question. When I look at the world, what I can see and observe is all kinds of evidence of a creator. As I've said to you many times in the past now, I see design, I see function, I see intention, I see beauty, the touch of an artist. I experience meaning in the world, and really, if there is no God, and none of us exist beyond our death, is anything really meaningful? But I know there is meaning. So in my opinion, we see all kinds of evidence for a God out there somewhere. So the next logical question for me then is, has that God made himself known to us? Known to human beings at some point beyond the evidence of what we see in creation? Has he communicated to us in some form? Is there a big rock out there with a carving from God in it? Is there anyone out there saying that they have experienced God and they have a credible, believable story? So I don't know what you would want to see that would be convincing to you. But for me, that's what I'm looking for. Is there something that has happened in the past where God communicated to human beings and did something unusual that was experienced by people? That's what I want to find and what I want to investigate. And if that has happened in the past, people having an amazing experience of God, I guess, how would I ever be able to learn about that if they had not written down that experience in a book? So for me, the fact that the Bible is written by human beings does not make me immediately discard it or conclude that it could not be a record of true experiences with a real God. Now, I might have my guard up as I read it. I'm going to need to see some good reasons for why I should believe what these human beings are claiming about God, because you know what? I know that humans do some crazy stuff. But I don't reject the book automatically just because it is written by humans. Now, you could talk for many, many sermons on why it's reasonable to believe that this particular collection of letters and documents written by human hands called the Bible is a communication from the true God to humanity. I'm not going to take us too deep into that today, but I do want to give you a couple reasons. By the time Jesus lived, people had begun to have some convictions similar to what we would call journalistic accuracy today. Prior to that time, not so much. Humanity had not yet developed the beliefs we have today regarding fact reporting and double-checking evidence and those kinds of things. But by the time Jesus lived, some of those ideas had crept in. The doctor, Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke and the book of Acts in our Bibles, says this at the beginning of his gospel account. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us about Jesus, is what he's talking about there, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you've been taught. So Luke was writing a gospel to a man named Theophilus, probably a wealthy person, maybe even a Roman official. And we see in Luke's comments here some of the concern for accuracy that is a part of journalistic standards today. And this should matter to us if we are analyzing documents written by human beings who say they've had an experience with God, because we're looking for reasons to believe or to reject their claims. Luke says that these stories he's about to relay to Theophilus have been handed down from eyewitnesses. The stories are not about events that happened hundreds of years prior and now are just being written down. No, Luke was a contemporary of these people. Not an eyewitness himself, but talking to eyewitnesses. Carefully investigating, he says, all these things. Now, that's the kind of stuff I'm looking for when I'm searching for a record of an experience with God. Eyewitness testimony, careful investigation. That's meaningful to me. And Luke's account is not all we have in the Bible, is it? Luke was not an eyewitness, but you do have other books of the Bible written by eyewitnesses, the Gospel of John, 1 Peter, etc. The main author in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, was intimately in close relationship with many of the men and women who had followed Jesus daily as his disciples. So that's the kind of stuff we're dealing with in these New Testament documents. And all of these people who are telling us their experiences with a man named Jesus Christ in these documents are united in the belief and the assertion that he was nothing less than the Son of God. They believe that the Creator God himself had been communicating to the world through this Jesus and through the events that they had witnessed. And let's just cut to the chase and say that we also have multiple people in the Bible telling us that this man Jesus not only died on the cross, but came back to life. Now, if I watch a man get beaten and hung on a cross till he's dead and he's in a tomb for 3 days, and then all of a sudden I'm talking to him again and eating with him and able to touch him, well, now I'm paying attention, okay? Now I'm thinking this is God stuff, right? So for me personally, one who has seen the evidence of a designer in the world in which I live and wondered if that designer has communicated to human beings in some way at some point, I go investigating the various claims out in the world to an experience like that, and this book, the Bible, this book has caught my attention. This is the kind of thing I'm looking for. Are the Bible stories incredible? Are they hard to believe? Is it hard to believe that a man died and rose back to life? Yeah, it is. But we're looking for evidence of God communicating to human beings. So it would have to be an incredible story, wouldn't it? Or we wouldn't think it was God otherwise. So these eyewitness claims of interaction with God collected in the Bible, this is the kind of stuff I'm looking for. And so I read further. And the more I read about who Jesus was and what he said, what he taught, and how he lived, the more I become convinced that these eyewitnesses were right in their conclusion about this man, that Jesus was the Son of God. In our search, we're looking for God breaking into human history. And historians, whether they believe in the Bible or not, are united in belief that Jesus Christ was a historical figure, that he was a great teacher, that his teaching changed the world. This is not a religion founded on theories about God or a mythical list of gods out there somewhere. These are claims about God rooted in a historical event. Jesus happened. You and I are simply left to decide whether or not we share the conclusion about him that his close followers came to. So after my own careful investigation, I have decided that I agree that Jesus was slash is the Son of God, and that this is what I was looking for in my search for a communication from God to human beings. I believe that the Bible teaches us about who God is. God broke into human history in an amazing way, an incredible way, a unique way through his Son, Jesus Christ, in a way that 2,000 years later I can believe. And that incredible break into human history began on the night we are celebrating over the next few weeks, the night of the birth of Jesus. The Bible tells us about God. The first two words of our theme verse for Advent this year in John 3:16 are, "For God." The Bible tells us about God. I think it's possible to view John 3:16 as the most important Bible verse in the Bible. So, if the Bible is the record of God's communication to humanity and the tool he has used to carry his message to us, and if John 3:16 is perhaps the most important verse in this whole book, then this verse is worth contemplating. We're going to look at two more words from this verse this week, and then we'll tackle the rest of the verse in the remaining Sundays prior to Christmas. What were the first two words? For God. The Bible tells us about God. For God what? For God so loved. If the Bible tells us about God, and if we are perhaps looking at the most important verse in the Bible right now, then I would say that in the first four words of this verse, we have already learned something very important about this Creator whom we have wondered about. Is he out there? Yes. What is he like? The first four words of this verse tell us that God is one who loves. He has great love in him. And in fact, 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. We've decided that the Bible is God's communication to humanity, and then we see the Bible teaching us that God is love. I have to say, that's a very encouraging word to hear. I've observed love in the world, and I have observed the opposite of love. I've experienced love in the world, and I've experienced the opposite of love. And I think if you were only thinking about God based on observation of the planet, you might wonder if the Creator created both love and hate, if they both came from him. You might wonder if this creator is schizophrenic, at one moment capable of incredible acts of love, but in the next moment spewing out hate and contempt and vile things. All of that stuff is in the world. So just based on observation of the world, you might wonder that about God. So to hear from the Bible, this communication to humanity from God, to hear that God not only loves, but that he is love, that he is the definition of love, that he is the source of love, that is great news. I think this confirms something in our souls. Don't we just kind of feel that love is the way it's supposed to be? Don't we know that when we see hate, that that's coming from brokenness? Something is broken and hate comes out of it. I think we just feel this. And this lines up with what the Bible tells us. God is love. Love is the way it's supposed to be. Love is the world when the world is right. And you know what's awesome? When you've decided that the Bible is the communication from God to humanity that we've been looking for, you know what's awesome? You discover that the Bible itself is a love letter. In many respects, this communication from God to us is a message that says, our Creator loves us. He sent us a message of love. Take a look at these things with me. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. In Proverbs 8, God says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me will find me. He loves us. Fear not, for I am with you, he says in Isaiah. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. He loves us. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Jesus asks us to come to him, to rest in him, to soak in his love. In Ephesians 3, Paul says, I pray that you may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is the love of Christ. God's actions are the actions of one who loves. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. In 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says, we can cast our anxiety on him because he cares for us. Because God loves us. And just like any loving parent would do whose children are stuck in a broken situation, God leads those of us who are willing to heed him out of that brokenness and into a place of unbrokenness, ultimately leading us to a place where he will wipe every tear from their eyes and death shall be no more, neither shall there be mourning, crying, or pain. These are the actions of one who loves. Now there's more to this communication from God in the Bible than just a message of love. There is an explanation of a dire situation that we are all born into. Been born into a world that is broken by sin, and sin has infected everything, including us, says the Bible. The Bible communicates that sin is extremely serious. In fact, it's deadly serious. That if we continue to live our lives separated from God and we don't turn ourselves back to him, we're destined for eternal death. That's part of this message as well. Terribly serious and important part of this message. But even in that part of the message, we see God's love for us, for he has made a way for us to be saved from that terrible fate. The baby Jesus, who we celebrate this Christmas season, ends up as the ultimate expression of God's love to us. Romans 5:8, but God shows his love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. What the eyewitnesses witnessed was God sending his son to take the punishment for sin that we deserved, making a way for us to have restored relationship with God if we choose to accept it, making a way for us to reach heaven when we die. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. A gift given to us that we can receive if we believe in him and accept it and turn our lives to him. So Jesus, along with the cross that he allowed himself to be killed upon, then becomes the greatest symbol of this love letter from God that we call the Bible. For God so loved. So we don't end up finding a rock in the forest somewhere when we do this search. What we do find is the baby Jesus, who becomes the historical man Jesus, who takes our sin upon himself. What we do find is a book called the Bible, which carries within it an astounding message of love. Now, for some of you, this may be new information or perhaps information that you haven't thought about quite in this way before. For most of us, of course, this is not new information. You already believe that the Bible tells us about God. You already know of his great love, but you know, it's Christmas. This is a time where we reflect on these things and the great love that he has shown to us. And this is a message that we need to continually hear, I think, just how much we are loved by God. I want to spend a little time this morning here with the remainder of the time reflecting on God's love together. I want this message just to sink into your heart today. In a little bit, I'm going to play some music for us so that we can sit and listen and contemplate these things. Now, usually when I play you recorded music, I play rock and roll because that's my music preference of first choice. But I do like other styles as well. And you know, choral music is a big part of the Christmas tradition in many churches. So I'm going to play for you, as we meditate on God's love here in a little bit, the Bethel College Choir, circa 1989, 1990, when your current pastor was in that choir as a freshman, still unable to grow a full beard. A bunch of us tried that year, which is why I know. The song I'm going to play from that CD, and I'll put the lyrics on the board, is called Love Came Down at Christmas. And that is exactly the point I'm trying to communicate today. We'll listen to the song and then we'll maintain that spirit of quiet as we move immediately into a time of communion following. Will you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Before I play that recording, I'm going to ask Krishna to come and play a little bit on the piano in the background here. And let me ask you this. Have you received this message into your life? That the God of the universe knows you and loves you. This is what the Bible tells us. He even knows the number of hairs on your head. You know all the cruddy things that you've done in your life? All the unlovable things about you? God knows those things, and he loves you anyway. He loves you big. You know the sin that you've been involved in the last few weeks? God knows about it. He doesn't love sin, but he does love you. He loves you still. He loves you big. And if you've already accepted the gift of forgiveness into your life, arranged by Jesus' death, then he has already forgiven you for it. And you can't stand any cleaner before God than you are right now. Amazing grace, isn't it? And Jesus says, go now and leave your life of sin. You are loved. If you haven't made that commitment to Christ, this is something you need to do. I believe most of you here, probably all of you here today, have made that commitment. But if you're sitting out there right now and that's a step that you have yet to take, I hope that you'll come talk to me. You don't need me, of course. You can pray right to God. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You don't need me, but I'm glad to be part of the process. Get right with God. We never know when our last moment will come. We are all loved. Do you feel alone in your life? You're not alone, as Christina said today. God sees you. He knows you. He loves you. Listen to these words from the Apostle Paul. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future nor any powers, neither height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. You are loved. Love came down at Christmas. Please soak this in now as we listen. Love came down at Christmas. The communication of God to human beings through his Son, Jesus Christ, breaking into history, a love letter from God to you and to me. Praise the Lord.